Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning to you, Saturday morning. What is this, June bloom in August? The crown chakra. The crown chakra. You've heard that term. What does it mean to you? What does it need to mean to you? The crown chakra. I'm going to make an argument today that once you understand the significance of that euphemism, that somewhere between your ears, up in your cranium, is a computer chip that runs the show. And if it's running the show correctly, then you'll have, well, at least the chance for radiant health. If not, you're going to have problems. But you see, Western science doesn't have a grip on this, and Eastern mysticism uses terms that scare everybody, whether it's for religious reasons or whether it's simply that it sounds, this word, the crown chakra, like a bunch of baloney. And so people suffer because people don't understand. Of course, as you know, that's why I do this show, to hopefully enlighten and illuminate a little bit. Because a lot of what you hear out there in the Eastern or in the esoteric or in the alternative tradition has great root in hard science, but not the hard science that you get in the hospitals, not the hard science you get in medical school. I don't even think the hard science you get in any school. I think translating the crown chakra and all those colors. You ever meet somebody that talks about the colors of the crown chakra? That they see colors at their third eye, right? And it gets you nervous because, well, maybe that person just doesn't create any great deal of, let's say they create skepticism in their presentation. And although you might be interested, you're lost in this skepticism. Well, if you get to the website and you look at the pictures today, I think we can clear this up. The crown chakra is very real. It is, it should be, and get a load of this statement, it really should be part of your physical exam each year at your favorite health institution. Your physical exam should have some sort of analysis of whether or not the crown is functioning normally. Because when it goes out of balance, when the neuroendocrine system, when the central junction box inside your brain between your two ears goes faulty, you're going to go faulty sooner or later. Now, we've got to turn over the next hour. We've got to turn that perception into something very real. I want to remind you that chiropractic medicine, osteopathic medicine, two extremely well-educated disciplines. Both of those disciplines centered their entire profession was formatted around this. Now, the chiropractors would still agree. The osteopaths have more or less sold out, grossly sold out, from back when Fulford and Stillman, the founders and perpetrators of the osteopathic profession back at the turn of the last century. Osteopathic medicine was deeply interested in the neck and the head because they knew that the body will fall as soon as the head and the neck go faulty. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I want you to get to my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. If you're just listening and you're driving, as many people do, I still get to meet lots of people over time who just hear the show while they're driving. Well, you can't get to the website, but when you get home, straighttalk.cc, you're going to need to listen to this show again. Because if you're online at your local health institution with problems, cancers, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, lupus, ulcerative colitis, heart conditions, senility, IBS, ulcerative colitis, back pain, joint pain, anything, you've got to include the overall function, the efficiency of function in that area that we call the crown. So this isn't for just somebody. This is for everybody. And I want you to consider that really one of the mistakes we make when we go after disease is that we localize our focus. You're interested in your knee and you don't understand that that knee pain or that heart attack or that brain tumor or that autoimmune disease is integrated into many other concerns. We just want to know the focal solution with the focal drug or the focal surgery or the focal holistic solution, the focal adjustment, the focal herb. We want that, and it's human to want that. But in my experience, it hardly ever works that way. And so when I say the crown chakra today, and we look through the pictures, so on and so forth, and we try to get a deeper sense of what that means and what you can begin to do about it after and while you educate yourself within it, you'll start to see you can't afford not to incorporate it into any health concern. Now, if you add up that type of perception, what you're left with are laws of health. The 100 or so natural laws of health. And that's how you go about your cures. Feeding laws. Respecting laws of health. And staying off that trap. The trap is what is the focal solution. The more I do this over the decades, the more I see focal solutions are a joke. I can't be dogmatic and say they don't work because sometimes they do. But if you're saying, I've got a specific condition, I've got a heart issue, I've got a memory issue, I've got a sexual function issue, I've got low back pain, and you're looking for a focal herb, a focal adjustment, a focal remedy, a focal pharmaceutical drug, a focal specific surgery, I don't see a lot of success, especially in the holistic camp. I want you, the public, to think about this. We call it holistic medicine, and yet you walk into your holistic practitioner. I did not say medical doctor. I said holistic practitioner. You walk into your holistic practitioner, your acupuncturist, your chiropractor, your massage therapist, your nutritionist, your psychologist, your yoga instructor, your sports trainer, and you say, I have a problem here. What can you do about this problem here? And this is your mistake. And yet it's common sense to do that. I'm certainly not denying you the sentiment, but I'm pointing out that if you look at these 273 shows I've done over 5 years, everything is so integrated with everything that you can't get away with doing that. So we're going to go into the crown chakra today. What does it mean and why is it vital for you to understand it? For you, with any health concern, let us begin. Go to picture number one. If you're driving or you can't get to a computer or you don't own a computer or you don't like to use a computer, just sit back and listen. I'll try to describe as much as I can. But again, a picture's worth a thousand words. Picture number one, the spine, your spine. Now we're going to get to your crown. But we're going to start with your spine. Because at the bottom of your spine, if you look at picture number one, you'll see 7 cervical, 12 thoracic, and 5 lumbar. 7 and 5 is 12, and 12 and 12 is 24. 24 vertebrae, all the way at the top from C1 all the way down to L5. Now, those bones have to wiggle. They have to crawl. They have to, like snakes, have enough flexibility in between each segment to more or less be able to move like a snake crawls. Not that you do that, but you should be able to do that. Each spinal segment from the first cervical down to the fifth lumbar should be able to separate. And at the bottom of it, you have, well, what in Latin reduces to the word or translates to the word sacrum. You have your sacrum, your sacred bone at the bottom. And at the top, you've got your head, your cranium, the bones of your skull on the top, the sacrum, sacred bone on the bottom, and 12 vertebrae in between. Now, that's you. You have to think of you as that to understand the importance of the crown. Crown being up in the head. Something's going on up in the head that runs every single equation in the body at beyond light speed. Yes, there are things that are faster than the speed of light, probably at the root of our physics, of our biophysics, of our biology, our reactions that are moving, well, one in parallel universes and two faster than the speed of light. Make no mistake about it. What's between your ears in the hypothalamic, pituitary, and pineal areas, which specifically relate to the crown, is an organization of intelligence that is running every chemical reaction in your body every single second, millisecond, microsecond, picosecond, nanosecond, every infinitesimally small unit of time. Is under the organization of the field, the electromagnetic field, the electrochemical language of what's between your ears to every single cell. Yes, this means your back pain. This means what's between your ears, your brain is listening to your back pain. It's listening to your cancer. It's listening to your autoimmune disease. It's listening to your immune system. It's telling those systems what to do. But we have to begin with our understanding of it by discussing 24 vertebrae, a sacrum, and the bones of the skull. And I want you to think of that sacrum all the way up to the bones of the skull as part of what you see when you watch a snake slither across the spine, across the floor. That spine should have that type of flexibility. Now, there's nothing anywhere in any physical tradition of medicine, chiropractic, osteopathic, Pilates, Rolfing, all the massage therapies, Kung Fu, Qigong, yoga, all the subdivisions of yoga. There's nothing in any one of these disciplines, these genres of study, that would argue with what I just said. So that's where you start. You have to have respect for that. Now, around your brain is another consideration. So I'm going to give this show to you today in terms of perspective, in terms of perspectives, in terms of considerations, in terms of ways to look at your health so you understand ultimately the crown and its significance to your health. Around your head, picture number three, is a sheath that we call the dura mater. Those of you who have listened to the show regularly over the years are well acquainted with this, yet in my experience, it's never a waste of time to give it to you again. The dural sheath. The dural tissue around your brain and around your spinal cord. So think of your brain and your spinal cord as encased in your spine. The brain and the spinal cord have a bony encasement. And around the brain and the spinal cord is this blanket called the dura mater or the meninges. And we don't need to get into pia mater and arachnoid tissue and the rest of that specific stuff. Not interesting enough. So your brain is a tadpole. It's got a head and a tail. That head and tail are encased by bone. And around that brain is a thick sheath, like what you make a tent out of, called dura mater. It means tough mother. And that dura mater is tied to the bones of your skull and tied to the vertebra. It is also tied to the sacrum. So we are developing a relationship here now between the dural tissue and the bones of the skull and the sacrum and the bones of the spine. So the spinal cord and the bones of the spine and the skull and the sacrum are interfaced with dural tissue. Things are layered. They're integrated. There's a meshwork of communication. And that dural tissue is just so extensive that it splits your brain in two, that your brain sits on it, and it also, as I said, wraps itself around your brain. If you look at picture 5, that's why you got to go home later and look at the pictures if you can't look at them now. Who has the time to look at pictures? You can't do that. Look at those pictures on 5 and 6. Look at how it splits up your head. Falx cerebrae, tentorium, cerebelli, these three-dimensional cuts into the brain where you'll find the dural tissue separating compartments of the brain. Now, that dural tissue up in the brain is connected all the way down into the sacrum, all the way into the bones of the spine. That's what's fascinating. If you look at picture 4, there's a cross-section. Picture 4, there's a cross-section of the sacrum. And showing you how it's surrounded by the dural tissue. And as the nerves exit, it's surrounded by the dural tissue. Now, why am I harping on this dural tissue? Because you can effect, you can stretch the dural tissue. You can talk to your own dural tissue. Talk to it. Talk to it means you can stretch it out the way you stretch out your wrist, or you stretch your hamstrings, or you stretch your low back, and you can make your dural tissue feel good. And when you do, it thanks you a billion times over. So if I said to you, can you stretch your hamstrings? If you're 85 years old right now, you remember what it is to bend down and pick up something on the floor and stretch out your muscles in your back because it feels good. Everybody stretched. At one time or another, everybody stretched. But I'm talking about a stretch sophisticated enough because you're flexible enough, because your spine is flexible enough that you can actually stretch this tissue. When you stretch this tissue, your body thanks you a billion times over. Now, if that still doesn't sink in, I can do it a little better. I want you to look at your cat. I want you to look at your dog. And many of you out there who haven't stretched since 1949 have cats and dogs. I want you to look at them because they're stretching all day. They are doing exactly what I'm talking about. I don't care if you're a Christian or a pagan. It doesn't matter. Everyone has cats and dogs. Everybody loves their cats and dogs. Everybody swears by their cats and dogs. Generally, we spend more on the health of our cats and dogs than we do on ourselves. So everyone can relate to the fact that your cat and your dog is stretching itself out every single day, and its dural tissue is thanking your cat or your dog a billion times over. I rest my case. Can I make it more clear than that to you? Well, here's the payoff. If the dural tissue is separating your brain from the hemispheres, the left and right, through the falx cerebrae, if your brain is sitting on the tentorium cerebelli, if all the bones of your spine are connected to the skin around your spinal cord, if the sacrum, Mr. Sacred down there at the base of all of this, is moving efficiently, And if you are, because you're flexible enough in those places, in the spine and in the sacrum, like your dogs and your cats, you're pulling the dural connections to your brain all day long. The dural tissue can be conditioned as you condition yourself to pull and pump the brain, to pull and pump all parts of the brain. Now, there's a part of the brain in the center of the brain that you've heard about before that they rumor to control the entire body. It's more than rumors. It's the fringe edge, the cutting edge of neuroanatomy. Oh, yes, yes, yes. We're aware of this. We've heard of this. It's all so important. No, no, no. This isn't getting through to us. We are failing miserably. Because you can't mitigate, relegate, demote, marginalize conversations like this. And we are when we forget that all the people in all the hospitals in all the world today should first and foremost be analyzed or be therapized. They should get the therapies required to build back the continuity of the system I'm trying to describe right now. If you have a cancer, if you have heart disease, if you have Alzheimer's, if you have Parkinson's, if you have anything, if you have any concern for radiant health or any concern for the symptom that you have, you have to consider the patency, the coherency, the high functionality of what I'm talking about. Yes, the crown is real. At the center, we have the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the pineal. We have three places in the brain that run the show. They run the endocrine system. In fact, they run the neuroendocrine system. Let's take a look. Those of you driving, put your finger on the bone between your eyebrows. That's called the third eye, right? You've heard that one. It's called the glabella in anatomy of the frontal bone. You're putting your finger on the glabella between the eyebrows. Go back about 3 inches or so, depending on the person. You may have one of those, you know, thick brows or a thin one. Either way, about 3 inches back, you're going to get right to the guts of the matter there. You're going to get to, let's see, I'll give you the best picture of them all for this. I'd say go to picture number 15. No, go to picture 12. Go to picture number 12. There we go. Now there, in the purple, that's your hypothalamic area. And below it's your pituitary gland. And behind that's your pineal. If you look at picture 12, if you're just driving, just understand that 3 inches back is the core of the brain. It's where we say the crown lives, the hypothalamic pituitary pineal axis, that all those areas are talking to each other. Well, maybe they're not. Now, if you go to picture 15, we're going to talk about the endocrine system. So we're breaking it up now. We're going into different directions, and we're going to pull it all together so you get a functional understanding of the crown. So there's a continuity here, but you've got to get some education. Again, those of you who are smart enough to do that save themselves much. How many people I see each week with this concern and that concern and that concern and this concern, and they can't get breath through the nose, and their bite is off, and their head is way, way forward, anterior head carriage bad, and they have no relationship with their body. They have no relationship with the suboccipital space. They have no learned ability to talk, to stretch, to move these body parts. But they're out there fishing for answers, understandably. They're looking for that herb. They're looking for that diagnosis. They're looking for that drug. They're looking for that surgery. They're desperate and relentlessly tiring themselves in this 10, 20, 30-year search for health. We have an epidemic. I don't want to sound conspiratorial. We have an epidemic. Yep, we have an epidemic in America. It's called chronic disease. I have never thought I would say this. I just didn't. I never thought I would say it. I really didn't. I'm not conspiratorial, but we must call the spade the spade. The increase in chronic disease I have seen in the last 5 years is astounding to me. It is absolutely astounding. And it is just as it was predicted years ago, that the electromagnetic hits that the world is taking from the age of technology and whatnot is starting to disrupt in a terrible way, disrupt our neuroendocrine function. It's shutting down our crown. This is why you have to understand the significance and critical importance of this show and shows like this. Not to give you an herb or two. If you go online, it talks about herbs and cleanses to activate the pineal gland. This is idiocy. It's his absolute idiocy. Why are we thinking it's like that? These systems are so exquisitely integrated that they demand a layered, structured approach that comes with time, energy, a certain amount of devotion, and most of all, understanding, so that you can get coherency in these systems. And I'll define that later, because it's right at the tip of our nose. Just look at your animals if you really want to see coherency within the crown and the neuroendocrine system. Just understand that one of the first places you look for incoherency or the breakdown of these systems is when the bite is bad, is when you can't get breath through the nose, is when you've had multiple head traumas. Chiropractors, osteopaths will all tell you that people who have these head traumas, people who have these bad bites, people who have these jaw-clenching TMJ syndromes have weird health histories. They don't just deal with head trauma. They deal with body problems, and no one makes the connections. And when we try to give it to you, there's a lot to understand. But I don't think it's too much. I don't think it's too much for you to understand. I really don't. I think we have to put our understanding on the A list. Health, understandably, is on the B or the C list. If we put as much time into understanding health as we did into understanding our sex drive, our sexual function, our personal relationships, where we put our money, how we're going to retire, if we put as much time into health as we put into those things, we'd have more than enough understanding. But health classically is on the C list. It's something the government pays for. It's our inalienable right that we don't have to work towards. We're just given health. This isn't true. It doesn't work that way. So you got to reach deeper. And I think you can do it. Because I don't think correctly applied, essence is defined for you. This is that complicated. So your endocrine system is up there in your hypothalamus, your pituitary, and your pineal. They make neurotransmitters, they make glands, they make hormones. Those hormones talk to your ovaries, your uterus. If you go to picture number, go to picture 16. Endocrine system, it means adrenal gland, it means thymus, it means thyroid, it means pancreas, it means ovary, it means testes, it means hypothalamus, pituitary, pineal, the crown. Okay. You're getting there. We're getting there. Now, the concept here is these areas of the brain, you have to be able to pump them. You cannot pump them by moving the dural tissue that wraps itself between them, around them, through them. You cannot pump them unless you can connect to your dural tissue. And you cannot connect to your dural tissue unless you can isolate the segments of your spine. Which means you got to get like your cat and your dog flexible. Now, that's big if you understand it like that. It means you're making a relationship between being dancer-like flexible and your brain tumor and your diabetes and your ovarian problems and your low back pain and your knee pain. And it's forcing you, it's compelling you, it's beseeching you, it's obliging you to get off the notion of what do I do for my neck pain versus what do I do for my digestion versus what do I do for my sex drive versus what do I do about my IBS versus what do I do about my toenail fungus. It obliges you to stop doing that and to understand that you have to look at your health as a composite of systems, different systems of the body that are either optimal or substandard. And this one is on the top of your list. Can the spine and the body get flexible enough to pull the dura so the dural tissue can go up and pull on its attachments in the brain so you can pump your brain? That is the question today. That is the point of the show. And what I'm suggesting to you as you line up at your favorite local health institution with everybody else in deep fear that once you get to that hospital bed, you are never coming out. And boy, do we have a lot of people in that position today. It's as if you'd rather die in bed not knowing what's hurting you before you want to go to a hospital and have them put you to sleep. And this is exactly what is happening today. The hospitals are putting people to sleep. It is wretched. I have never seen it this bad, ever. I've never imagined it. We have a calamity. There is an epidemic. I'm telling you, I sit behind it more than most. So more than ever, you've got to put your health on the A-list. You've got to get educated. And then come in there with a team. If ever you are unfortunate enough to be in a hospital, a team of people that look hungry, as if, don't make a mistake with my baby. And you have to be on it. Okay. The dural tissue, pumping the brain. Let's take a look a little bit more closely at what this allows you and how you have to think in terms of, well, approaching this. And I've done many shows on this. I've just never termed it activating the crown and why it's vital to your health. Today's show, activation of your crown chakra, why this is vital to your health. Show 272. It is vital to your health. All right, let's look at picture number 19. Picture 19, hypothalamus pituitary pineal gland. Its relationship to autonomic nerves. The autonomic nervous system is interfacing in the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus gland has central junction boxes that are talking to the part of your nervous system that speed things up and the part of the nervous system that slows things down. Everything you've ever understood in the 5 years you've listened to this show on the sympathetic versus parasympathetic nervous system is all interfacing in the hypothalamus gland. Something going on in the hypothalamus gland is talking to the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. Get this one straight. If you cannot massage, if you cannot texture, if you cannot like twist like a sponge in a loving way, the center of your skull, you're not going to be able to balance the relationship between the sympathetic and parasympathetic nerves. Let me give this one to you again. If it was possible, it would be highly advantageous to go in to the center of your brain, pull out the hypothalamic, pituitary, and pinealian areas, and massage them gently. And if they were like little widgets with a face and a smile, if you touched them right, they would smile at you. all the way to the bliss point. All the way to the point where you were assured that you were massaging the inside of your brain with such skill and dexterity that that part of your brain would smile at you. Now, if you could do that each and every day and then stick it back into your brain, you would be assured perfect balance between those divisions of the nervous system. And that's what you want. Because if you don't have that area, picture number 19, what you're looking at, if you are, that area cannot tell your heart what to do. Why are we interested in pharmacology? Why are we interested in drugs? Why are we interested in herbs? Why are we interested in anything? When really, it's how you texture, condition, talk to, manipulate that important area we call the crown. How we manipulate it determines all of the pharmacology in our body. The chemistry is controlled by the crown. The pharmaceutical chemistry is controlled by the crown. All the physiology, all the cell biology is controlled by the crown. And the crown is textured by all these processes I'm describing optimally. That's big. You go about it with an herb, you go about it with a drug. You represent different sides of the same basic camp. Let's fix the problem. Let's go out and get an herb, let's go out and get a drug. Either way, if the crown's not talking, things don't work. Now, this is especially true of holistic medicine. You guys on the show today, you're interested in natural approaches. Well, the natural approach that precedes my experience over two and more decades is the herbal nutritional approach that isn't integrated into a truly effective structural process. You're shortchanging yourself horridly. And it's costly. It's costly because when these things like nutrition, like herbalism, like cleansing, like all these things are studied, they don't show good outcomes. They don't show definitive results. And it isn't prejudice and greed and the powers that be that don't want you to have your rights to nutritional supplements and herbs and the rest of it. It's that when the studies are done, the results are not impressive. And there's a reason that the results in alternative medicine are not generally impressive. Despite the fact that there is an enormous amount of Park Avenue sensationalism that at the root of which is rather empty. There's a reason holistic medicine, nutritionally speaking, tends to show poor outcome because it's not truly integrated in structural medicine. So when we say osteopath, when we say chiropractor, when we say yoga, when we say Qigong, when we say Tai Chi, when we say Kung Fu, when we say these things, the essences of these structural genres was to pump the hypothalamic pituitary axis. And it's not a matter of which one is better. It's a matter of pick any one you want. If you pick Qigong, if you pick Tai Chi, if you pick Kung Fu, if you pick yoga, if you pick Pilates, if you pick Feldenkrais, if you pick Rolfing, if you pick chiropractic, if you pick osteopathic, it doesn't matter what you pick. If you take each of them into the higher advanced levels, they're all doing the same thing. Why wouldn't they be? It's one human body. So the point is, can you take your movement therapies? If you're pole dancing, it's the same thing. If you're ancient belly dancing, it's the same thing. If you're tribal dancing, if you're an American Indian dancing the dance your ancestors danced, everyone was trying to get to the same place. They were trying to physically manipulate the crown because that has deep relationship with the sympathetic and parasympathetic nerves. And as we know, those nerves control your organs. Now, if I was going to get focal, if I was going to take the time to get focal, I would be getting focal about one part of your spine. And that's the upper cervical spine. And two other professions were very focal about your upper cervical spine. Oddly enough, it was chiropractic and osteopathic. Chiropractic in the 1940s was run by a guy named B.J. Palmer. His dad, D.D., Dennis Don, D.D. Palmer, invented chiropractic in 1895 in Davenport, Iowa. All chiropractors, like myself, know that famous story. It's the first thing you learn in chiropractic school. There was a janitor named Harvey Lillard. And Harvey was deaf. And D.D. Palmer was running around the country in a suitcase with magnets. He was a magnetic healer. And he met Harvey Lillard, and he had this sense that he could help Harvey. And Harvey was deaf. And what D.G. Palmer did is inadvertently have Harvey face down on some sort of a table, an ancient chiropractic table, and he cracked Harvey's thoracic spine. He gave it a push, and there was a big crack, and then Harvey could hear. Now, this story's true. You know, a lot of the origins of things like this have these sensational stories attached. Well, they're really true. Sigmund Freud cured somebody that couldn't move, that no neurologist could understand. He cured the young woman and made her hand move by talking to her, by the relationship they created. This, of course, was the beginning of psychoanalysis. Things can start this way, in these marvelous ways. Well, Harvey Lillard was cured by D.D. Palmer, and that was the birth of chiropractic. By the 1940s, D.D. Palmer's son, B.J. Palmer, took the profession over. And his school was called the Palmer Hole-in-One School. Hole-in-One. The chiropractors were saying that if you could adjust the first and second cervical vertebra, the upper cervical spine, you could cure anything. Now, this was an outrageous claim. It got the chiropractors into an enormous amount of trouble. They were prosecuted. They were thrown in jail. They were accused of treating disease without a license. But the reason the chiropractors persisted, because when they were able, when the chiropractic adjustment was able to mobilize the occiput, the first and the second cervical vertebra, you could see miracles happen. It's not that the Chinese weren't doing this with Kung Fu. It's not that the Indians weren't doing this with yoga. It's not the American Indians weren't doing this with powwow dances. It's not that the Rolfers weren't doing this. Everyone had been doing this from the beginning of time. But there was one way to do it, cracking the neck, that occasionally worked. It didn't work all the time. It didn't work in the majority of times. But when it worked and you needed it and it mobilized that space, you could see a miracle. And this is how chiropractic, it's how it propagated itself. B.J. Palmer was President Harry Truman's chiropractor. B.J. Palmer saved chiropractic. We say he saved it. We say it would have died without him. Now, the osteopaths began at about the same time with Andrew Still. And then there was Fulford and a bunch of these early osteopaths, and they were coming from exactly the same place, with a few differences. Now, they evolved differently, but they began in the same area. Manipulate the cranium. So what do our, in a sense, Christian theological approaches to the body? These were the naturalists. These were American Christians at an earlier time phase, the 1880s, 1890s, turn of the century. And out of this theology, out of this philosophy. I mean, when you hear these guys talk, if you read the texts of the old osteopaths and the old chiropractors, it's biblical almost. But what they were saying is that there's a miracle, and that if you initiate this divine miracle through physical adjustments of the cranium, this is my point, you could get people to that other level. And there were many instances of this. These were not sensational claims. They didn't occur all the time, but they did. So my point to you is that this notion about manipulating the cranium just in those two professions has deep vestiture. I won't even get to yoga and kung fu and qigong. The whole world has understood this. It's up to you to understand it now. So making that spine flexible from the sacrum to the top of your skull. But if there was one area, and this is where I want to sort of streamline it, if there was one area that you'd really have to look at, as I just kind of said, it's that upper cervical spine. Now look at picture number 27. Look at picture number 27. There it is. How heavy is your head? Anterior head carriage. Anterior head carriage. Once that head comes forward, you lose the crown. Once the posture changes, you lose the crown, especially the head. That forward slippage of the head as you age, as that dowager's hump intensifies, as that hunchback intensifies, as that lower lordosis intensifies, but as the head, more than anything, comes forward, you lose the crown. As the head slips forward, you lose relationship with the brain. And you will pay for that. And no one will tell you. The old chiropractors will tell you. I think the single most prolific understanding of this was given to us by Rolf, Ida Rolf. And that's how postural integration began. It was about realigning the body to open the crown. Essentially, yoga is about realigning the body to open the crown. As that head slips forward, as the occiput C1 and SU get crushed, get compressed as the head goes forward, you cannot connect to the dural tissue. Your relationship and your connection to the dura of the brain is gone. It is faithfully, demonically denied to you. And so you shut off the crown. You mitigate the crown. Now, you don't have to think of this in terms of extremes. It doesn't have to be about extremes. It's not like you have no function, nor is it like you have great function. But most of us, especially as we shift into these unfortunate postures, we are mitigating grossly the position of the brain and our ability to pull and pump the brain. Oh, well, that relates to the brain, right? So that means senility and Alzheimer's and brain tumors and Parkinson's and the rest of it. Bigger than that, it means the crown that mediates the autonomic nerves, that sends pulses to every cell, that runs every equation in the body, no longer functions in an optimal fashion. So all roads lead to the crown. You are stretching, you are cleansing, you are separating spinal segments, you are pumping the sacrum, you are doing all these things. You've heard over 270 shows to get to the upper cervicals so you can manipulate them. And anyone that does will never be the same. Anyone that does will swear by that shift. Anybody that does will understand the whole central thrust of holistic medicine. Anyone that does will tell you life changes drastically. And anybody that tells you this is an overnight response, anyone that tells you this is about a single adjustment, anyone that tells you it's about a single cleanse, anybody that tells you it's a quick fix is hallucinating. What have you ever gotten that's worth anything that you got overnight? What have you ever gotten overnight that was worth getting? In the long run, you got to put time and education and focus. You have to think in an integrated way to bring yourself to the point where you can start to taste the sweeter fruits of your journey. You have to calculate it against time, against money, against energy. You have to take counsel. You have to learn health. Learn health. Not look for herbal cures. What herb can I take for my problem? Not what drug can I take for my problem? Not what surgery can I do to fix my problem? Look at what we're doing to ourselves. We are hallucinating and we are paying. I am giving you a perspective today, partly based on the fact that I will put down on writing at this point. We have an epidemic. You're not hearing about it on Time Magazine. The media is not saying it. I want you to sink into the deep recesses of your soul. I want you to use your common sense and ask yourself, are people healthier today or sicker? Now, I'm telling you, I am seeing things that are astoundingly alarming. And even in the last 5 years. And we have solutions. And those solutions demand an upgrade in the way we approach alternative medicine. I don't care about allopathic medicine. Let the allopaths do what they do. You have an emergency, take a drug. You have an emergency, get a surgery. But if you are interested in pursuing radiant health, if you are interested in building the strength of your body so you do not succumb to disease, then learn these concepts. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you are interested in learning these concepts as it relates to strengthening your health, 714-850-1007. If you are not interested in fixing your symptoms, if you are not interested in fixing your diseases, if you are interested in getting healthy, if you have enough wisdom to understand that getting healthy is much more powerful and effective than focusing on your disease, 714-850-1007. The next show I think I'll do is on the laws of health. What should a physical exam look like? Give yourself a physical exam every year and ask yourself, to what extent have you facilitated, embellished, have relationship with the natural laws of healing? And the more you do, the more you get back. The natural laws of healing. If I look at you, I look at your bite. If I look at you, I make sure you can get air through your nose. If I look at you, I want to know about your head traumas. If I look at you, I want to see, what relationship do you have with your spine? And if I don't get good answers in all those areas, if I see enough congestion, even within the few questions I just cited, and I see a history of disease and symptomology and pain and suffering and inability to respond to therapy, I know we have a severe problem in the central junction box. And that's the way you have to look at it. You know, when you do radio shows, you always have coaches and people that have been in radio for years. And you know what they tell me to do? They tell me to get on radio and they tell me to mention my name every seven minutes. They tell me not to put pictures on a show because no one's going to look at them. They tell me to really be simple because most people don't get it. They tell me consistently to talk to the lower common denominator of society. They tell me that most people aren't interested in real solutions, so don't make it too complicated. Do you see what we're doing in America? Do you see what Common Core did? Even our president regrets Common Core because Common Core said, dummy it down. If you treat people stupid, they get stupid. And this is what we're even told on radio shows. Our nation needs to take a different look at how we approach the public. We have to appeal to their higher sensibilities, not put them in groups, because maybe the kid that's a little slower needs the help of the kids who are a little faster. And if we don't learn to cooperate, well, then how will we know how to proceed? And I am defining many systems, not just Common Core. It happens in medicine all the time. It happens with your media coaches. You're not allowed to say, it's not politically correct to say, we have a problem, get in there and dig your heels in. And so we don't, because it isn't good news. Well, there are phases in every country's history where if we don't think along these lines, we will suffer. And we have arrived at a health crisis in America. I've done schools. I do educational shows. I sacrifice money, time, and energy in the name of getting this point across. And I will continue to do this. Because from everything I can experience on this side of the desk, it's getting worse. You can like it or lump it. It's getting worse. So get down and start studying and think about what I've said today. And if you're lost in the labyrinth of health and you don't think you can figure it out yourself, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007, give us a call. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.